Tommy Lou Gehrig.
Loogie.
Start Dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, Dude's dogs damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Mom, I've been working nights.
Tommy the legend.
We all know Tommy Lou Gehrig is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lou Gehrig on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lou Gehrig. Loogie. You know, the Yankees wasted a golden opportunity tonight, because the Rays, who have been scuffling, they lost again, and it was a chance for the Yankees to cut it to two games in the loss column and really, really, really tighten the screws up in the division. On top of that, the Red Sox in extra innings, and you're going to see the Red Sox for four this weekend at Yankee Stadium. The Red Sox won, and now the race has just gotten to where I expected it to be. You know, before I went on vacation, I told you guys and gals that it's going to come down to the final two series of the year. And I expect all three teams, Rays, Yankees, Red Sox, because that's the order that it is right now. I expect all three of those teams to be right there for the final seven games of the year. And remember, that second-to-last series for the Yankees is a four-game set against Tampa, where the Yankees control their own destiny, assuming Tampa is still in first place. I mean, I said last night the Yankees are going to win the division. I didn't tell you when they would pull into first place, but they'll ultimately win this division, the Yankees will. I truly believe that, despite wasting a golden opportunity tonight, where they had the lead several times. And look, Hendricks showed he's human. And he needs a rest. I mean, the one thing I would be concerned about with this bullpen, you know, Cruz gave up another home run. Hendrick, you want to say his stuff was good tonight? I mean, I know Aaron Boone was saying that after the game. Fine, but still, he had his worst outing of the season. And he needs a rest. Hendrick does. The back end of this bullpen needs a blow. And this is when I understand, hey, some starters come back. You can move them to the bullpen. I mean, I don't know what role Will Warren's going to have on this team. He stinks. I mean, I don't know. I don't know any other way to say it. He certainly shouldn't be a starter. I know you're going to get Freed back this weekend. I know Weathers went down, but Warren just gives you no length. And even when he's out there, long counts, home runs, it's not effective pitching. To me, Warren shouldn't be a guy that's anywhere near big outs down the stretch, and certainly in the postseason. But this one slipped through the Yankees' hands tonight. And if you want to say there was a critical moment to me, I mean, Jazz Chisholm's got to find a way to get to second base in the eighth inning. He's got to steal. You got Wells up there who... the thing about... I'll get back to Jazz in a second here. When they continue to flash, as they do every night, you know, player stats on the board when you're watching it on television, it's like Austin Wells' numbers have been stuck in stone all year. They've been frozen in time. It's like these, it's just like one of these things where you're like, you know, you put something in the freezer because you don't want it to go bad, and it's there for like a year, and you forget about it. I mean, Wells' numbers are just awful. But Jazz has got to find his way on second base. And Boone was asked about it after the game. And Aaron Boone said Jazz was attempting to steal second base. Well, yeah, okay. I don't know what that means, quite frankly. Nobody does. And we'll get the clip for you here in just a little bit. But attempting to get to second? Well, he didn't get there. And as you know, here on After Hours, we like to play the game of using Aaron Boone cliched lines when your wife presses you for things that you didn't do around the house. And if my wife came to me, or your wife came to you and said, honey, why didn't you put this toilet seat down? You know, I fell in again. And you said, well, listen, honey, I attempted to do it. And obviously I didn't do it. And you fell in and we had to call the Coast Guard and get you out of there. But I was attempting to do it. Or if your wife comes to you and say, hey, why didn't you feed the dogs? Why didn't you feed the cats? You said, well, honey, listen, I attempted to do it. I just didn't do it, but I attempted to do it. You know, honey, did you pay rent this month? Nah, you know, I was attempting to do it, but I didn't actually do it. It doesn't matter if you're tempted to do something if you don't do it. If I don't show up for work and I tell upper management, well, listen, I was attempting. Believe me, I was attempting to get here. But then, you know, halfway to driving here, I just said, you know what? It was like Office Space. I don't really like work. I'm not going to go in. Come on. Rosenberg, isolate the answer because he played in the postgame when Aaron Boone was asked why Jazz Chisholm did not steal second base. It was like a 30-second answer. We'll play it. Just give me the Iggy when you have it. Give me the thumbs up. But he attempted, Jazz Chisholm, to get there. Yeah. And to me, it's all right. He didn't get there, but he should have stolen the base or actually in the act of stealing it. Because now I'm going to get all confused here by saying he should have attempted it. It's a play on words. If he attempted it and got thrown out, fine. But he didn't attempt to do anything. Although Aaron Boone said he attempted it. What, mentally he was thinking about it? Fake. Actually fake like you're going to fake. It's honestly, if you listen to this stuff every single night, it'll drive you crazy. You got to get on second base there. You got to avoid the double play. And that was a massive, massive play in the game. All right, in case you missed it or I didn't transcribe it to the way that you like it, here is Aaron Boone after the game asked about Jazz Chisholm not stealing a second base in the eighth inning.
In the eighth, that Wells at bat, is that a spot where you want to see Jazz attempt to steal to avoid the double play?
Oh, he's attempting to.
No, what?
So why did he not?
Correct!
Well, you gotta get a jump and, you know, so.
Get a jump! He's got 40 stolen bases on the year!
It didn't come to fruition there, but.
Didn't come to fruition.
Yeah, we're working at it there.
Yeah, we're working at it there. We're working at it. I'm telling you right. Plash, you know what? I was screaming over it. Again, think about this. Take the part out with the reporter asking the question about Jazz stealing the base. Take that out of it. Take that out of it. Take the context out of it. And like
well,
I said.
He's attempting to.
Yes, thank you, Aaron. And then replace that with fellas that are married out there. You know the deal here. Replace that with your wife asking you a question. Hey, did you make sure to update our passports because we're going to Aruba next month? Hey, did you take out the garbage? Hey, did you forget to leave the toilet seat down again? Hey, did you take our kids to school? Hey, did you go to work this week? Now, think about any question when your wife is nagging you about something, and rightfully so, let's be honest, we're basically as men useless. So think about your wife asking you any type of question. It could be as low, you know, on the totem pole as taking the garbage out, and it could be as serious as paying the mortgage or the rent or, like I said, updating the passport. You got a big trip coming here. Take that question out, right, in your mind mentally, and then listen to this answer. And tell me, if you were to tell your wife this, how it would go. Go ahead, Paulie, play it.
Oh, he's attempting to.
Yeah.
So why did he not?
Well, we got to get a jump and, you know, so.
Right.
You know, it didn't come to fruition there, but
yeah, didn't.
You know, we're working at it.
We're working at it. We're working at paying the bills this month. We attempted it. It just didn't come to fruition. Paying the bills this month, it didn't come to fruition. You know, if my wife goes, Tommy, well, actually, she calls me Thomas. She's one of the rare people on this planet Earth that calls. It depends where you met me in life. Like, some of my friends that are with this weekend in Nashville, they met me pre-college, so they call me Tom, or they call me Lugauer. If you've met me post-college or in college, you call me Tommy. And around the workplace, it's Lugie. In the world of, hey, if you meet me on the streets and you listen to the show, you call me Positive Tommy. So as we've talked about a lot, there are many versions of Tommy, and there are many different names you can call me, but she has landed on Thomas. If she went to me and said, Thomas, I caught you staring at that girl's ass. Why were you doing that? I was like, well, listen, honey, I meant to stop staring. You know, I meant to. It just didn't come to fruition. It didn't come to fruition. I was trying to stop looking. I mean, she has a nice rump. You could serve Thanksgiving dinner on it. But I was just basically, you know, trying to stop, but I couldn't.
Yeah, we're working at it.
We're working at that there. Steal the base! Come on! It's like an SNL skit sometimes, these Boone post-game press conferences. It really is. It's like a spoof. It's honestly, I'm stunned that Lorne Michaels and the people over at SNY haven't tapped into this yet. We're working at it. Well, you know what, Aaron? Let me know. Maybe perhaps next time we get to this situation, the guy with the most steals on the team and I think he's like, you know, top five in the sport right now in stolen bases. Hopefully next time he could steal it. Got to get a good jump, though. How about on the first pitch you run? We're working at it, honey. Don't worry. We're working at it. I didn't take the kids to school today. I didn't pick them up. I once again left them at a Walmart, you know what I mean? And so we have to go get them, you know what I mean? I left them unsupervised. But don't worry. I was thinking about going to get them, but I forgot. I left them in the aisle somewhere. But it didn't come to fruition. Come on.
You know, it didn't come to fruition there.
Honey, did you pay the bills this week?
You know, it didn't come to fruition there.
Right.
Sounds like Art Howe. Like we're battling out there. Remember when he's we're battling out there. We're trying our best.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where you either, in order to steal a base, all you got to do to steal the base is run. That's it. It's not a situation where, you know, it's early in the game. Yeah, we're trying to get a jump. We're trying to get a read. No. You're in a spot there. Just steal the damn base. You're fast. You have a million stolen bases. And it almost feels too a little bit, I could be wrong here, this is just me purely speculating, that Jazz pulled a Jazz, and Aaron Boone is just trying to defend them. And he's, well, listen, you know, and mentally he stole the base, he just physically forgot to start running. But mentally, he was right on it. In the game of mental baseball, he got to second base, and the Yankees won this game, and they are now two games back of the Rays.
So he was in the Matrix, he was in the chair with the plug in his head.
Correct, exactly. Which pill did they have to take to get into the Matrix, Paul? Do you remember? Was it the blue pill or was it a red pill?
It was red and a blue pill.
Because now when these days when you think blue pill, you think of other things. You know what I mean? If you take the blue pill, you're going to have yourself a Saturday night. You're going to call the Rockettes if you take the blue pill. You know, that's one of those things where I believe that was the pill. Look that up in the Matrix.
The red pill means you go down the rabbit hole.
Okay, so red pill is rabbit hole.
Blue pill is back in bed.
You wake up as a ham and egg the next day, you know, basically.
Yeah,
back
normal thing. You have no idea.
Got it.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and I just recently, like in the last year, I watched that movie. I mean, I've seen it a million times, but I'm saying like in the last year, I have seen it. But I forgot which pill was which. Great movie, by the way, Matrix. Way ahead of its time. What year did that come out? Do we remember what year?
99.
You know, it's funny. We were thinking about, we were talking about the Four Non-Blondes, the band. Last night, I'm going to need you to help me out here too, Rosenberg. Who's the band, and we'll pull up the song that does, it was good living with you. Did that help? Did you Shazam that?
No.
Why not?
What was that?
What do you mean, what was that? It was good living with you. I guarantee you our audience knows the song I'm doing. They'll either tweet it at me, at Tommy Lugauer, Lugauer, or they will call us up at 888-808.
Better than Ezra, good?
Better than Ezra. There you go. Get that going for me here in a second. Better than, and what year did that come out? 97, 96, 95, 93? Yes, better than Ezra, it was good. I don't know what made me think of that, but I think it was that I was down the sort of path last night when we were talking about Four Non-Blondes because I was talking about Nashville. And I was talking about how anytime I go down to the South in my life, I discover that there are so many more blondes down there than there are up here in the Northeast.
1995,
better than Ezra. All right, before we go to break, let's play that song for the audience. It's a great song.
I mean, of course.
Yeah, obviously get to the chorus. Whoa, I don't want to. What is that going to take, 13 seconds? I didn't ask you to walk to Australia. I just asked you to fast forward a song for a minute. Where was I going with all this? Oh, yeah, listen, the Yankees blew a golden opportunity tonight, and it's just setting the stage with this Red Sox win tonight. It is setting the stage for a massive weekend at Yankee Stadium. Massive. Massive. By the way, here's Better Than Ezra. Good. It was good living with you. Wow. It was good. Good. Listen, I was in Nashville all weekend, so I'm in the sing-along mode. Great song. I would say the 90s is, in my life, now I'm 40 years old, so I've lived through, a little bit through the 80s, 90s, 2000s. What do they call the 2010s? Is that what they call it, the 2010s? Pretty, right, exactly. And what are we in now, the 2020s? Is that what they kind of classify this as?
We're in the roaring 20s.
What are we in?
The roaring 20s.
You just made that up, I think. What do you mean the roaring 20s? Wasn't there another roaring decade that we've gone through in our lives? Or not our lives, but in the lives of America? There was the roaring 50s, right? Weren't the 40s roaring? The 20s were depressing, right? That was the depression. What about the 30s? What did the 30s have to offer? Not much, right? I don't know. Like, give me something that happened in 1933. I mean, probably something sports-wise, I'm sure, happened, and I'm not thinking of it, and the internet will be mad at me. Oh, this guy doesn't know in 1933 what happened with the Yankees. No, I actually don't. I really don't. But my argument is, for me, at 40, well, 41 now, technically, that the 90s is the best era of my lifetime. The Clinton-free 90s, as I like to call it. That was a great time to be alive. A lot going on.
The roaring 20s.
The roaring 20s. So, of 1920s, right?
Yes.
So how the hell are the 2020s roaring as well?
All the 20s are roaring.
No. That's, you completely made that up. There's you're talking out of your rear end. There's no shot. If somebody can confirm that. Don't make me ask AI in the break here if the roaring 20s are now the 2020s. Because they sure as heck didn't start out roaring, that's for sure. As we know.
Well, I'm looking at the definition. The Roaring Twenties, a vibrant decade of economic growth, jazz music, and bold social changes.
Interesting. That's in the 1920s.
Though. Yeah, but a few of those can be applicable to the 2020s.
Can you play that song again where they go, it was good living with you, There it is. My question is, who's Ezra? If you're better than Ezra, was Ezra really good? I don't know. Is Ezra like the top level? Because what if Ezra isn't and you're better than Ezra? Who cares if you're better than Ezra? You know what I'm saying? Like if people walked around and said, are you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm better than Paul Rosenberg. They'd be like, well, I ain't saying much. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. What is that supposed to mean? So I got to know. I got to find out more about this Ezra and what being better than Ezra actually, you know, what does that mean? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Is that a great thing? Is that an amazing thing? By the way, we got some updates on Aaron Judge today. And by updates, people watched him walk around and run around and do some things. Look, we're still a long way from Aaron Judge actually returning to the field, playing Major League Baseball. My guess is right now. Let's pull an Evan here and do a prediction game, Paulie. Can you write this down for me when I give the prediction? Just write it on my calendar. Write it on my calendar just to star it 17 times on both sides and underline it like 65 times. Just do that for me. So I am going to predict right now that Aaron Judge, I could see him wanting to come back for the series against the Mets, right, the weekend of September 11th, but I just, that's 2 weeks from now. There's no way. I'm going to say that Aaron Judge returns for the series at home, four-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. Okay, write that one down. Prediction time. Aaron Judge will return the second to last series, what I would think is a pivotal, major, big-time series against Tampa. Because I expect all three teams, Yankees, Red Sox, Tampa, to be right there within spitting distance of each other in the final 6, 7, 8 games. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is a loogie here in the late night. We'll kick off with your Yankee calls. We'll get into the very exciting win at Citi Field for the Mets. We have some football that we need to cover as well, including unfortunately, what feels like and look like a potentially season-ending injury for Calvin Austin and the Giants. We'll get into Odell Beckham Jr., what that injury could mean for Odell. We'll get into some Jets talk as well. A lot to do in the next 2 hours or so here on The Fan. It is Tommy Lugauer. The number to join is 888-808-1019. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 11:48 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer. And it doesn't have to be a candle for the rest of his
enough.
Life.
Enough.
I forgot you do this every time. Yeah, I'm back. We haven't worked together all summer, Paulie. Whose fault is that? Yours. I forgot that you play the damn drops when I do that, so I'm talking over it. I apologize for that. That's on me. But it's also on the scheduling around here that I haven't seen you in forever. Like, how many times have we worked together this summer? That's a question, Paul. You can answer the question. Like 6, 7, 5, 3, 2, 1?
Yeah, less than 10.
Yeah, I would say less than 10. Now, unfortunately, I think you're back with me now pretty much for the duration here, correct? The summer is over?
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Okay. I feel it in the air that the summer's out of reach. I could be wrong on that, but it feels like we are approaching Labor Day. It's a week and a half away, which means everybody comes back from vacation, which means you will be back here Monday, Tuesday night, and more importantly, it means Connor Green will be back on Wednesday and Thursday nights playing drops. Is that fair to say?
I mean, I don't...
Well, it's not a murder trial. What do you mean? Yes or no? Yes or no?
I don't know what Connor does on Wednesday or Thursday
night. No. Connor's job is to work here as producer Wednesday and Thursday night.
But you said playing drops. I don't know if he does that.
Okay. The question I presented to you, Paulie, is starting in a week and a half, are you and Connor back being my full-time producers along with Michael Fliegelman? Yes or no?
I would guess.
Oh, boy. I mean, this is really honestly... The questions will get harder as we go here, Paulie. This is my cousin Vinny. There are only two answers that you could say here, guilty or not guilty. So you could either say yes or no. Okay, so I'll ask you one more time, and either yes or no better come out of your mouth. Okay? Have I made myself clear? Otherwise, I'm holding you in...
is wrong.
I'm holding you in contempt! Starting in a week and a half, Paulie, are you and Connor Green going to be back Monday through Thursday now as my producers? On a weekly, nightly basis.
I can't speak for
Connor. You're in contempt! Shut up!
I mean...
Take Mr. Gambini away!
I mean, contempt? It's contempt.
I hate you. I hate your guts. You know that. What did I just tell you yesterday?
You on drugs?
Yes. Yeah, two Utes. I told you this yesterday.
Yeah, two Utes.
Thank you. Vinny Bag of Donuts. That's okay. We got a lawyer in the family. Who? My cousin Vinny. My brain is absolutely... Ubats right now. I'm Stunad. You know I'm on little sleep. In fact, you tried to have small talk with me before the show, knowing that I'm in all likelihood the following things. Tired, still hungover, and yes, in a way, depressed, because I'm back in the real world, and I'm not in Nashville anymore. So you know that about me, Paul. You've known me forever, and yet you still tried to have small talk with me instead of just letting me be and giving it at least a week for me to recover, and then I'll be back. I'll be back to having small talk with you. But even before the show, well, where is I going with all this now? I'm forgetting. Oh, yeah. I told you this last night, that it's going to take me time to kind of get the brain going. So I might trip over a word. I might say the wrong word. I might put the
Monday
wrong...
Monday through Thursday now as my producers on a weekly, nightly basis. I can't speak for
Connor. You're content! Shut up! I don't need it read back to me like I'm a child. I know what I said. I know what I said. I said the wrong word. But I know the word. I just said the wrong word because my brain is mush right now. Mush. My mouth is mush. I'm lucky I can even talk on the radio right now. So I think if I do 98...
How have you been taking care of your throat?
I haven't been. I think I sound pretty good, though.
Yeah, you got to get some tea, a salt water gargle.
No, but I'm good, though.
A lozenge.
Well, hold on a second. I don't need any of that stuff. I'm good. If I was hurting right now, meaning if it sounded like crap, then yeah, but... I think we're in the clear now. As long as because when I come back from these trips, as long as I get through like the first, meaning like, okay, so the trip ends Sunday. If I'm in Monday, Tuesday mode and I'm talking and I sound all right, it's not like it's going to get worse after this. You know what I'm saying? Like the worst is over now. It's only going to get better. So I'm not worried about and what did you say? The lozenger?
The lozenge. You need a lozenge.
All right. So do you have one?
Actually don't. I think I have a lifesaver.
Well, you're not, need a lifesaver right now. I need to sleep, but I... Yes, everyone's right. Have you caught up on sleep? I'm like, no, I need to sleep for 7 straight days to catch up on the sleep. But we'll do that. It's called the weekend. 888-808-1019 is the phone number called. Do we need a hydration break, Paul, yet or no? We don't, right? You need a couple more minutes for that? Okay. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Let's go to Brian in North Haven, Connecticut. He joins us. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Tommy. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
You sound pretty good for somebody who's old.
I'm good. I'm always nervous about that because there's a lot of singing, a lot of screaming, a lot of this, that, and the other, whatever. But my voice.
But
sounds
you
good.
Do a good job. But you do a good job on the show, and I love it.
Oh, thank
I'll
you.
Tell you.
Appreciate that.
Here's the deal. Yeah. We got to give a shout out to Dolly Parton, who passed away.
Yeah, right? I was going to bring her up a little bit later on the show, but absolutely shout her out now. We'll talk more Dolly coming up in the midnight, 1 a.m. hour. But yes, a cultural icon, a musical icon, a sex symbol, and one of the greats just really in history here. Paulie looked at me when I said sex symbol. Do you have eyes?
Fantastic.
Of course.
Fantastic. And I'll tell you what, you were talking about music from the 60s. You forgot Jimi Hendrix.
Did I mention music from the 60s?
I thought you were talking.
I don't think so. Brian, I don't know if I was, though, and I appreciate all the kind words. I don't think I was talking about music in the 60s. I think I was talking about music in the 30s or something. No, we were going through all the decades for some reason when it came to just things in general. But no, I think I was talking about the 90s, not the 60s. That's okay. If you thought I meant 60s, I wouldn't. First of all, I would not leave out Jimi Hendrix when I'm talking about music from that era. But if I did, it would be because I don't have enough time to list through every single musician that comes along in a particular decade. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We have plenty of time to take your call. So if you're on hold right now, quick hydration break. We'll get to you on the other side. We'll get into the football. We'll get into the Mets. A lot of Yankees in the final 2 hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night, After Hours here on The Fan.